Does it feel a little weird doing Christmas in September? As weird as this year's been, is it almost kind of nice? I hope so. I hope it's a blessing for us. And we've hoped, of course, all along now as we reach week 22, I guess technically week 23 if I think of our week of introduction, we've been hoping for this journey through the entire Bible in 31, 32 weeks to be just a blessing like that. To help us see not only the small stories that make up the individual ones as we've been working our way through the Old Testament, but how they're linked together in one big story. The big story of God's plan of salvation. Today, the epistle reading really tries to hint at that God had a set time when everything was just right. He brought his son into the world. Not that that meant everything in the world was perfect by any means, but it meant that it was now time to make his journey. Speaking of journey, let's think, for some of us, we drive here, we're thankful for the roads we have and the cars and the convenience. Mary and Joseph made the trip from Nazareth down to Bethlehem. It's about 60 miles, depending on the path they take, maybe 70. Maybe Mary got to ride on a donkey. Maybe she didn't. But, if we're going to make a 70-mile trip, like let's say out to, Columbus, or you're going to head to from the very south side of town and you're going to go all the way up to Humble or something like that, about 70 miles, we can knock that out in an hour and a half. Mary and Joseph, hopefully Mary on a donkey being 9 months pregnant that she was, it's more likely that it took them a week. Can you imagine feeling every little pit and pothole in that dirt road? Every time the donkey stumbled over a rock, Mary jostled. The pain of ladies that you have felt that before, that pain and that nerve in the lower back. Just wondering, when is it going to end? As long as Mary's journey was and Joseph's, with or without a donkey, let's remember how long Jesus' journey was. That the God who said, let there be light, even before he did that, already knew sin was going to come and taint this world. Yet he still loved it. He still created it. Yet he still went forward with that plan. Some of us, I think it was just last Christmas, we watched the Bethlehem Star video, and one of his premises in there, and I think he lays a pretty good case for it, was that certain constellations were in certain positions in the sky, and there was not only one bright star that signified to the wise men that there was something unusual, that a Savior had been born, but these constellations also communicated a message. I don't have time to go into all of that. We'll watch that again during Bible class. Hour as we get close to that time of year. But think of the premise of that. In order for the Leo, the lion stars, to be where they are, so they could be in the night sky in that way where they were to guide the three wise men to come and see the newborn king, God had to know how he was going to spread out the stars before he ever made the stars. God had to know how he was going to bring about this king and this emperor so that this one could conquer that one, so that the Greek emperor Alexis the Great could go out and have conquered everything and weep when he gets to the end of the world, only to see his empire subsumed by the Roman Empire, all of it so that roads and a common language and a common peace, Pax Romana, could be in place. The world thought it was so they could trade more easily, learn more easily, or the Roman soldiers get to war more easily. God, in his mind, said, yeah, you can build that stuff for that, but it's really for my son. It's really for my kingdom purposes. Do you realize that within 300 years of the birth of Jesus, Christianity had managed to spread from India all the way to England, to Africa, to the farthest known places of the earth, traveling and sharing the news of a God who loved us so much that he planned the salvation of the world before he ever executed the creation of the world. It makes us realize just how long Jesus' journey really was. When the time had fully come, God sent forth his son. Sounds a little bit like John 3:16, doesn't it? God so loved the world that he gave his son. He sent his son. And if that was all Christmas was about, it's truly a sweet sentiment that God would come and visit us for a while, that he would tell us, you know, that I'm with you and I love you and I'll walk with you and I'll encourage you in person. I'll do miracles before you. If that was all it was this Christmas story and some sweet miracles afterwards, it would have been wonderful. But it would not have been salvation. Some people, I actually had a church member ask me once, why would we sing a song like, "What Child Is This?" at Christmas? I asked them to explain. Well, the first verse is nice. The tune is lovely. Shepherds and all that. Haste, haste to bring him laud. But why do we have to sing about sinners' fear and nails and spear shall pierce him through, the cross be born for me, for you? Why do we have to have all of that? Why can't Christmas just be Christmas? It's a legitimate question. And my answer, and I hope all of our answer as we reflect on it, is as sweet and wonderful as Christmas was and is, it ends up really being meaningless if Jesus doesn't end up also being that one who fulfills God's plan, the solution for sin, his blood poured out on a cross that we might be washed clean, white as snow, that our sins might be removed as far as the east is from the west, and that we might be made new. For if anyone is in Christ, the Christ who was born, and the Christ who died for us, and the Christ who rose again for us, if anyone is in Christ, he or she is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. Christmas was but one part of the story, sweet that it is. We needed also this other part of the story. The silent word pleading for us on the cross, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they are doing." Him saying, "It is finished," as he pays the price for our silences, for our sins, for all of our shortcomings. The birth of the King is the first visible sign of this coming. We're going to talk a lot more about it in Bible class. We can really dig in to the Bible verses there. And I invite any and all of you to stay and be a part of that. I'm also going to put up on our website a handout I found of Jesus being really in every single book. That in Exodus, he is the lamb that is offered as the Passover. In Joshua, he is the soldier armies of the Lord who comes and speaks. And on through every book, it fits really well with what we've done in the story. But let's remember how much you and I fit into his plan. Now, let's say more, fit into his heart. That he would send Jesus, that he would offer Jesus as a sacrifice for our sins, that he would raise Jesus as proof that that price has been paid and that heaven's doors are open to us forever. All of that gets launched at Christmas. And the whole story, we need it so that our joy may indeed be complete. May God fill you with joy this mini Christmas and all of our journey along with Jesus forever and ever. Amen.